Let us pray. O Lord God, we give thanks this evening to be here in worship, to hear your word, to be with you and with one another. And we pray that this time with your Spirit would strengthen us in our faith, giving rest to our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to read the fourth commandment as it is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Listen closely. Today we're going to talk about the Sabbath and about our spiritual rest in Christ. Observe the Sabbath day, Moses wrote, to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, female servant, your ox, your donkey, or any your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates, that your male and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. When I was a boy, I grew up in a family where going to church was not a question. It didn't matter if you were busy, it didn't matter if you were tired, you always went to church. But that didn't always mean that I went to church with the right attitude. Sometimes, as a boy, I would ask my father if I could use the restroom during the sermon. I couldn't play that card very often, but I tried, and my dad was wise enough to kind of work with me with that a little bit. One time I vividly remember going out to the bathroom, and then when I was finished, the bathroom was in our school, which was attached to our church, and there was a soda machine out there. I'm going to date myself here. I had 15 cents in my pocket, and I bought a soda. A team soda in a green bottle, took the lid off and drank it. And the thing I noticed about that was I didn't really enjoy it. And it was one of a life lesson for me that I would carry with me for the rest of my life, that when I am disconnected from God, it doesn't matter. Anything I try to enjoy in this life, I really am not going to enjoy it at all. And so tonight I want to talk about that temptation we all have to resist the spiritual rest that we need, and also to look at God's patience and his promises to give us that rest that we need for our souls. Let's begin, first of all, by just remembering that we have a soul, and think about what our soul is. It's a very heart and core of who we are. And after everything is stripped away from us, this is the one thing that is left. Poverty can take away my wealth, but it can't take away my soul. Illness can take away my strength, but illness cannot take away my soul. I can lose a finger, or I could lose an arm or a leg. That has no effect on my soul. My soul cannot be transplanted to someone else, like a heart or a kidney. And my soul cannot be made artificially by anything. My soul is a gift of God, a precious gift of God. In fact, for all of us here tonight, it is the most precious thing that we possess in this entire world. Jesus once asked, "What would a man give in exchange for his soul?" Just as our bodies can be sick, so can our souls. But the interesting fact about the soul is this, that it doesn't have to be sick, it never has to be sick, and it doesn't have to grow old. Paul wrote, "Though the outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed every day." Your soul can be growing younger, depending on what you do with it. Your soul is renewed and made younger whenever it is cleansed by the Word of God, removing the sin, the guilt, the evil. That's what Jesus is talking about in Mark 2 when he talks about the Sabbath day and what Moses was talking about. When God first created the world, he turned this chaos and confusion and distress. He created order out of that. A beautiful order in just 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he capped all of that by resting from his creative labors himself. And this is God's way of saying everything was very good. It didn't need any more tweaks or changes or improvements. It was created perfectly balanced to live and to live and to live. But when Adam and Eve were deceived by the evil one that came into the garden, they introduced disorder. They introduced, if I could coin a word, discreation. By attempting to become little gods themselves, to take control over everything themselves, what they found out actually happening was their life beginning to tumble into disarray. Nothing was balanced. Nothing was steady. Everything was falling. Everything was breaking. Everything was dying. Our souls are precious gifts. They need spiritual rest. The rest that brings the completeness, the harmony, the peace that only God can give to us. So where do we get that rest? Well, for Adam and Eve, God quickly came to them. He confronted them with their sin. And then he covered that sin with his forgiveness. He symbolized that forgiveness by sacrificing an animal and taking the skins of that animal and giving them clothing. Adam and Eve were restored. They were given rest in Christ. They were given that promise of life and salvation that we'll talk about just a little bit more. The word Sabbath in Hebrew means rest. And if you look carefully at the commandment in Deuteronomy 5, you see two things about the commandment. One is, Moses says, we need to work. Everybody needs to work. But we don't work continually. We don't play continually. We also need some time to set aside for God's word to come into our life as God came to Adam and Eve in that garden to restore us again. We need to work because of sin, and yet because of sin, we never can find satisfaction or completeness in our work. That only comes when our souls are rested and when we do our work in faith and to God's glory. So we do have to set aside that time. But the second thing about the commandment is most important. The setting aside of time and the not working was something the Pharisees were always concerned about. We should be concerned about some of those things as well, but they kind of got it exaggerated and forgot about this second part. And the second part is in the word remember. Moses said, remember. Remember when you were slaves in Egypt and how I led you out of Egypt into the promised land. Adam and Eve received their Sabbath rest. And when we come to church like you are right now this evening, you're like Adam and Eve, coming to God and being restored with that clothing of forgiveness that God gives us. When you come to church like you are this evening, you are like the people of Israel coming out of Egypt through the Red Sea, the desert, and into the promised land. When we worship together, we are like those disciples, walking, talking with Jesus, seeing the cross, seeing the empty tomb, and looking forward to his return again on the last day. In each case, we are being restored as we hear these words. That's where our spiritual restoration comes from, our rest from God's word. Let's think about the difference that that makes in our lives. In the Chinese language, you may know that the Chinese language is a pictograph language, very interesting language. Most of the words are a combination of other words. And the word for busy in Chinese is a combination of two words. One of those words is mind, and the other word is lost. And that is a very interesting way to think about what it means to be busy. When we get so busy with activity, what happens? We eventually spin out of control. We lose our minds. And I would only add to that, that what the Bible's talking about here is that what we had originally in creation gets lost. Because sin creates that kind of distraction from God. We get busy thinking about things that are okay in and of themselves, but they do not remove sin from our lives. And so we lose that stability, that spiritual stability. And while our bodies are always dying, when we lose that balance in our faith, then our souls are going to become sick and may even become dying as well. When we listen, however, to this, this is, by the way, the longest of all of the Ten Commandments. The part we memorize is very short. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But as I read, the actual commandment goes along quite a bit longer than that. When we take the time to listen to what God is saying there, when we repent of our busyness, too much TV, too much computer, too much sports, too much work, too much hobbies, too much just laying around, when we repent of that and reschedule for the spiritual rest that God promises us, good things begin to happen in our lives. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The spiritual forces of temptation are weakened. They're weakened when we are constantly looking at Jesus. When Satan continues to come at us, it doesn't mean we're going to stop sinning completely, but what it means is that his efforts just aren't as effective. And when we are able to readjust, to get back on track quickly, we're like a driver who might get lost. But if he or she can look at the map again, get reoriented, readjusted quickly and in a timely fashion, the destruction of getting lost isn't so bad. That's exactly what we're doing here this evening. We are being reoriented. We are being redirected. We are being reminded. We are being brought into the presence of God and his grace for the helping, the healing, the restoration, the rest of our souls in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Dear Lord, thank you for the beauty, for the balance, for the order of your creation. Though it is disturbed by sin, we also know that in Jesus everything can be reset and restored. Give us the rest and restoration our souls constantly need, that we would live and live and live. Amen.